Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back. Today, we're going to talk to you about building confidence. And the reason I think that this has been such an important topic to me in particular the past few years is because for, about 5-6 years ago, I got my first strength and conditioning job. And before that, I had been coaching CrossFit classes and programming for some people online. And this was my first really intense coaching job. And I got obsessed with learning about coaching. And I was programming for people, I was working in person with them, and at night I would go home and literally research for hours every single night. I would read on Testosterone Nation and different websites, read books. My entire life was dedicated to learning and practicing becoming a better coach. And because of that, I developed an extreme sense of confidence. I was telling Adi yesterday, I felt like the man. I felt so good at what I did. And the reason was because I spent so much time doing it. I had so many repetitions of doing it. Fast forward to starting Brute Strength. And pretty quickly, within the first year, I had delegated all of the coaching away. I had made the decision that I was going to work on growing the business. And so we hired other coaches that would do all of the coaching for our athletes. And over time, I lost that confidence in my own coaching abilities. And it was a really shitty feeling. Like all of a sudden, I didn't feel like I had any real solid skills in anything. I felt like a decent coach. You know, I was starting to forget how to be a coach and a programmer. I felt like I was a decent coach and I was decent at business and decent at this and that. And I lost that sense of confidence that I had. And I didn't realize how important that was for me. Just about 6 months ago, I made the decision that I was going to work on becoming a world-class personal development coach. This is something that I've wanted to do since I started college, be like a counselor or a therapist or a coach of some sort in that capacity. And 3 weeks ago, I made the decision that I was going to spend at least an hour a day developing my skills in this area. And so I'll read, I'll watch videos, I'm creating this
and
kind of coaching
just,
structure.
Just so everyone knows, this is 5 days a week. So he does get a weekend. So everybody who's like an hour every single day, oh my gosh, it's 5 days a week. So.
Right. Every work day I'm spending at least an hour. I'm spending usually 1 to 3 hours a day on this stuff. And what I've realized just this week is that confidence is coming back. In my coaching calls with people, I feel like I'm more effective. I feel like I'm able to just be a better coach for people. And it's giving me just an amazing feeling that's permeating into other areas
and
of my life.
And you were absolutely terrified before you started. You thought about doing this for a long time. I think probably since we met. So that was like 3 years ago. And you had this huge fear, insecurity that you weren't good enough to do it, you didn't know enough to do it, you didn't have the skills yet to do it, and you just started doing it. Now you're confident,
right?
More confident.
Well, getting
in
there,
it, getting there.
There. Yeah, it's part of it is just being on the path, right? I'm confident in myself that I'm facing my fears and I'm on this path and I can feel that I'm building skills.
Right.
So today we're going to talk to you about first how to get yourself to do something new when you're not confident. And then we have 5 tips for building confidence. And both Adi and I have been successful in different areas of our lives over the years. And so we've had this experience of having to start with zero confidence and working our way up to feeling extremely confident, whether it be in sports or academia or in our careers. And so we're going to tell you how we've done that.
Cool.
So first, what can we do, Adi, when we don't have confidence? Because when we begin anything, we're not confident. What mindset should we have?
Well, I think that one of my favorite things that I heard you say, and I think you were the first person that told it to me, but I think it was that quote that was, when the fear won't go away, do it anyway. Was that the quote?
Something like that.
And when you really think about it, the feelings of not being confident in something usually can be described as fear or insecurity or maybe a little bit of embarrassment. And all of those types of feelings, like maybe your heart starts beating faster when you're just about to do it, you get like knots in your belly, you're sweating a little bit, you start having self-doubts in your mind. All of those things are honestly the exact same things that you feel when you get really excited about doing something. It could be before a workout starts. If you do CrossFit, that 3, 2, 1, we all know the feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm about to go, like, we're about to do this workout. Like, it's going to hurt. And
it's almost the exact same thing.
Yeah.
That fear and excitement.
Yes. It feels almost exactly the same. So I think understanding that with building confidence comes a lot of fear and discomfort, and just coming to terms with that and accepting it and not using that as a marker for, I'm not going to be able to get better at this. Just accepting that those feelings are going to be there regardless. And it could easily be excitement about the prospect of getting amazing at something. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a valuable goal, a goal of being the most amazing personal development coach in the world, or a goal of losing 30 pounds, or whatever it is, the goal that you have, that goal is really valuable. And it could just be excitement at the prospect of getting closer to it instead of fear that you might never get there.
And that's as simple as a little mental trick, right? It's all because that's just a shift in your perspective. So if you choose, you can call those feelings fear, or you can start seeing them as excitement, because they literally can be the same thing.
Or just call it excitement. And you can convince yourself that it is, even if you don't believe it at first. If you keep telling yourself it is over and over again, the mind is a really incredibly powerful thing. I've convinced myself of a lot of things that I wanted but didn't necessarily believe just because I told them to myself over and over. I think Michael watches me do this sometimes. I'm just like, I just say it out loud as if it's true or as if it's going to be true, even if I have doubts. Like, I have really big goals and I'll say them out loud, and you might think I'm crazy sometimes, but I feel like operating under the guise of it's possible is always going to serve you no matter what.
Yeah. And this is not to say that you should deny that you're feeling fear. I think that's actually one of the most important things, to acknowledge that you are feeling fear, but also notice that you could also be feeling excitement at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to get across. Another one is when you realize, you notice that you're afraid, right? Maybe you're working on public speaking and you notice that you're about to get on stage and you're feeling afraid. It's great to acknowledge it. And here's a way for you to kind of lessen the intensity of that fear. And this is just by regulating your nervous system. And you can regulate your nervous system, I think, most effectively through your breath. So anytime we're stressed out, we're afraid, we are tense, if you pay attention to your breathing, almost every time you'll notice that you're breathing from your chest and you're breathing shallow breaths. And you can create a physiological change in your body. You can regulate your nervous system by focusing on breathing long, deep breaths into your belly. And one of the best strategies we have for that is to take a 4 to 5 second inhale and an exhale that lasts twice as long. That does something to the parasympathetic. It activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is our relaxation and rejuvenation.
And try and do that into your belly.
Yes, belly breathing. Mm-hmm. So again, once you notice that you're feeling afraid in the moment with something, or if you're just like practicing something, you can regulate yourself a little bit so that your mind is clearer and that you can move forward and do the best job that you can. You know, just because you focus on breathing doesn't mean that you can go and like crush a public speaking engagement without any experience. This just allows you to actually do your best job given the amount of practice that you've put in.
Awesome. I love it.
So here are 5 tips for actually building confidence. Once you have that mindset, here's how you can actually build confidence. So the absolute biggest factor in confidence is actually being good at something. And how do we get good? We practice. We build relevant skills in this domain. So let's talk about building skills. The first is through intentional repetition. So the more frequent, the more frequent the days that you practice, the better. The higher volume, so the more you practice in a given practice session. Those are the two. So volume and frequency.
Yeah.
So it's going to be better to practice a little bit every day rather than a lot and go a week or two without practicing again. The way that our minds work, we really love repetitive exposure to something, and it creates a much stronger neural pathway to pull on. Like we just feel much more comfortable.
Kind of like you hear those stories of like Michael Jordan would stay after practice and shoot from the free throw line like 100 million times or whatever, all those basketball player stories of they weren't necessarily the most naturally talented basketball players, but they just repeated and repeated and repeated the skills over and over again.
The brain works in a similar way as the body, in that when you're strength training, what you're doing is you're stressing the body, you're tearing up muscle tissue, and then you go home, you sleep, maybe you take another day off, and it repairs that muscle tissue. When you're practicing skills, this is more of a neurological pattern that you're creating. And so you're challenging yourself through practice and repetition, and then you rest and it has time to repair and to strengthen that neural pathway.
I think part of number one is...
Oh, more building skills.
Yeah, yes. On building skills is that the thing about like what you said is you feel most confident when you're actually good at something. So that is where confidence is. I feel capable. I feel like I can do this thing. I feel like I'm probably better than the average person at this particular task. And that makes me feel confident in it. But we're trying to talk about how we get there. And I think that something really important that has really helped me is to try and have what I call a childlike mindset when it comes to building skills. When you're a kid, you're not sure what you're good at. Like you haven't had enough time on this planet to be really good at anything. So you're willing to suck at a lot of things. So you're willing to just like try a bunch of different sports, fall down and get back up and do a bunch of things that you're really not very good at, searching for the thing that you're going to be good at. And that's where the confidence comes from. And confidence comes from, you know, is trying to get good at something, practicing it, and seeing that you're getting better at it. Kids have this like natural ability to just do that with a bunch of different things and have no real hesitation when they're not good at it. They just continue anyways.
Yeah, they don't have as much armor around their ego yet.
Right. And then when you're an adult, the difference is, I think, is that you already have a couple things that you feel confident in. You already have a couple skills that you've built. You have a couple things that you're already good at. So when you start a new one, whether it's unconscious or actually conscious, you understand that it's going to take some work to get better at something, and you're not as willing to suffer through the sucking at it. And it's actually essential to get better at anything. So adopting a childlike mindset of, I'm going to do it even though I suck at it, knowing that I will get better at it, just like a kid would do, I think is really helpful when you're building skills, because there's going to be that uncomfortable beginning of it where you fumble and you fail and you suck for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything new that you do, you will almost definitely suck at to some extent.
Yeah.
Unless you have to be willing to do that in order to put in the practice in order to build the skills to build confidence.
Right. If it helps and motivates you more to work on building skills, just the mere fact of working and practicing on something and taking that childlike mindset of being okay with sucking at it is not going to just help you with the like one particular skill that you're working on. Oh, you're trying to get better at basketball. I'm going to work at getting better at basketball and put those skills like practice in place. That's actually going to also, as an adult, make you more willing to do the same thing with other skills and with other things that you want to be confident in. You're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I was able to, you know, from scratch, learn how to play basketball. I'd never played before. Mm-hmm. Now you feel much more confident probably going to learn how to play volleyball or even learn anything, any other type of skill or task. You're like, I've seen myself do something from nothing and get better at it. It just builds confidence in your your ability to get better at things. It doesn't have to be a one thing in particular.
Yeah, I call this building the courage muscle, like allowing yourself to like jump into the deep end or take a risk without knowing what's going to happen, like allowing yourself to suck in front of people. You learn that you can cope with that, and it gives you more confidence to do it in the future. So you're building the muscle of being courageous.
Yeah, totally. And I don't think anyone ever watches somebody who like gives something a genuine effort and sucks at it and goes like, really, if you're making fun of those people, you're just not nice. I mean, most people watch that person like, damn, good for them. Good for them for like going for it.
Yeah, it's weirder the people that you can tell they're too insecure to really go for it. And they're trying to pretend like they either don't like it or
it's not a big deal to them.
It's not a big deal or they're too cool for school.
Right, exactly. You're like, you feel weirder about that person, but the person who like goes for it and goes 100% and tries their best, you are always like, good for them.
Yeah. And the next one for building skills is get some social support. So I remember back right before I started CrossFit, I had run a marathon and I was really just so bored of running. And so I was kind of fumbling around because I grew up lifting weights with a football team and I was super motivated to do it. I wanted to be the strongest guy in the gym and I had all these people around me and it was very easy to get to the gym. And when I was done with the marathon, I was going to a 24-hour fitness by myself and I had no program. I had no people I was working out with and I was so inconsistent and I was so bored. So I had no real, I didn't have the motivation to get in there so that I could build skills, build confidence in myself, et cetera. When I started CrossFit, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, I know you can relate to this, Adi. When I started CrossFit, I had 20 plus people to work out with every single day. I started to make some really good friends quickly that I would suffer with. And it was just so much easier to get to the gym, which made it so much easier to get this practice in to start building skills. What was your experience like with that?
I mean, just having people around like is more of an external motivation, not just to get there and to do the workout, but to be more intentional about trying to get better at it. Mm-hmm. Like if I do a CrossFit workout at home by myself, I could dog it a lot more than if I was to go to a CrossFit gym. I would try much harder. Having social support is a motivation to like show up as my best self. And also, especially if it's people I love and I know that care about me, it takes a little bit of the edge off of failing. Like if I fail, I know that person's going to be there for me and they're not going to think it's that big of a deal.
I think that's a great point actually about you said you can be more intentional. And I think part of that is like your intensity and your level of effort is just so much higher when you're around other people. So you're going to get better at things faster. We were working out yesterday and there was this moment, we were doing the same exact workout and there was this moment. Actually, I'll back up. I've said to Adi many times, I've talked shit to her so many times about CrossFit workouts and I'll bet her like $500 if she can beat me.
What $500? Way, way more severe winnings. He'll be my slave for a week. Like he'll literally do anything I would ask.
If she beats me in a CrossFit workout. That's my jam.
Yeah.
And yesterday we were doing a pretty cardio-based workout, which is really my wheelhouse. And I thought she was going to beat me at some point. And I like turned it on and I'm like gasping about to puke at the end of that thing. So I definitely have tremendously higher intensity when I'm working out with others. So if you're trying to build skills, put some social support in place, whatever that may be. I mean, if it's in your career, maybe you're practicing around others, whatever you're trying to get better in. Obviously sports, you want to surround yourself with other people, put in some social support. Now, number two, try before asking for help.
So I think we live in a world right now where you can pretty much get other people to do anything for you. I mean, there's things like TaskRabbit and Instacart. You don't have to go grocery shopping. You don't have to put pictures up on your wall. You could hire somebody to come and like fix anything in your house. Like, it's really easy when something's going wrong to just be your first reaction. Who can help me? Who can fix this for me? Who can do this? If you have something though that you want to get better at, if you hit a problem on the way to building to that ultimate goal, I would encourage everybody to try and do it yourself first before asking someone to do it for you. Someone doing it for you really takes away the confidence that you could have built. Like, them doing it is them taking that confidence away from you.
Well, it's taking the struggle away, right? Like, yeah. Your ability to, or your opportunity to struggle and encounter a problem and then find a solution on your own to that problem.
Exactly. And I have a funny story about this in particular where, I was in the habit of doing this with anything tech related. So at WAG, we have a full tech team. They are like honestly the smartest people I've ever met when it comes to tech. There's nothing that I think they couldn't help me with. So, I mean, it could be anything from my printer's not working to how do I write HTML code for this particular issue that I'm having or an email's not sending, whatever it is. I would just always go to one of our developers, Matthew. And I would ask him, like, if he could help me on Slack. And it's, like, so instant, too. So it's, like, Slack. I'm just messaging him. He's going to see it right away. He's going to tell me. And then one time, I forget what I asked him for, but I asked him for something. And he sent me back a link. I didn't even click the link. This is how much, like, this is how much I rely on him. I'm like, oh, Matthew hooked it up for me. He sent me a link. I'll check it out later. And then solve my problem because I was doing something else. And then eventually I'm like, okay, I'm ready to solve this problem. I click the link and the link is a screen share video of Matthew typing my request into Google and searching it. Basically just making fun of me, being like, I could have just Googled it myself on how to do whatever it is I was asking to do. And it really just kind of like maybe put my foot in my mouth and be like, I really can just try and do it myself before going to him. It's not only unfair to him always asking him to do things for me and like not working what he wants to work on, but also unfair to myself because I'm robbing myself of the opportunity to solve a problem which can build confidence. So somebody who does this unbelievably well is my assistant, Dani, and she is such a great example of this particular thing where it doesn't matter if I'm like, hey, can you figure out how I can get from this city to this city? Or I need anything. Like, I need to build this piece of the website. I need this particular project to be managed. She, no hesitation, is always like, yeah, no worry, I've got it. And I bet you in her head sometimes, she's like, I do not got it. Like, I have no idea how to do this. But she has done that so many times that she has just confidence in the ability to solve problems, period. So that's what I meant by like, your confidence can translate beyond the particular task you're working on. But so many times she's just like, tried to get something done herself and gotten it done and realized that she's capable of doing that, that now pretty much anything I ask of her, she revels at the opportunity to figure it out instead of just asking somebody else how to do it.
Right. Love that. Number three, identify measures of progress. I'm going to let you run with this. In building confidence, we don't want to just, let's say we're trying to lose 50 pounds. We don't want to just look at the scale because there will be times in our life or in on this journey where the scale just doesn't move because of our hormones, because of, you know, we're retaining extra water or our exercise changed the day before. We can't just look at a single measure of progress when going towards any big goal. We have to identify different things that we can mark as successful.
I think one little caveat to that in the first place is if your goal is something like to lose 50 pounds, I would encourage you to reframe that goal in the first place. Like, that is almost entirely outside of your control of, like Michael's saying, like sometimes the scale just doesn't move. Sometimes you actually don't necessarily even want to lose 50 pounds. Like, the number is totally arbitrary. What you're actually after is feeling happy and confident and sexy and like being able to feel comfortable in your own skin and confident in your ability to make appropriate choices. That's really what you're after. So if that's really what you're after, then the number on the scale is just one piece of the huge puzzle that makes up getting to that goal of feeling confident in your abilities and confident in your body. And that can come at many different numbers on the scale. So I think that's really important to start. But when you're on any type of path or journey towards accomplishing a goal, you're with yourself every single day. So it's kind of like when you're losing weight and you look in the mirror and you don't notice how different you look. But then if you've tracked your progress from the beginning, let's say you took a photo of yourself at the beginning and then it's been 4 months and then you take a photo of yourself now and you compare yourself to the beginning, you're like, oh my gosh, like I actually have seen so much change. It's just really small changes over time. You kind of adapt to it and get used to what you're seeing, so you don't even notice the changes as much as measuring your progress in some tangible way. And I think that if you're trying to build confidence in something, trying to find a way to measure multiple areas of progress is really, really important. So a couple ways that you can do this is, we have a friend, Pat Barber, who is learning how to build knives. He's what do you call it? Forging
knife
knives?
Maker.
Knife maker. Forging.
I made that up.
I think he has a forger, and I think that's what it's called.
He has many tools.
He's forging knives. And I bet you one measure of progress for him could be looking at the first knife he ever made and then the most recent knife he ever made and looking at how like much better crafted it is and it looks prettier, or it's whatever the qualifications of how amazing your knife is, or even the amount of time that it would take him to build a knife now versus the first knife he ever made, or how many times he has to watch videos to like recheck and make sure that he's doing it properly.
Or the sharpness of the knife.
Right. Like there's so many different ways that he can measure if he's getting better at knife making that have nothing to do with like number on the scale type of outcome. And if you can do that when you're building a skill, try and monitor your journey like and track it or write it down or videotape it or take pictures of it. Track it along the way. You don't have to share it with anybody, but if you're trying to get better at basketball, film what your basketball skills look like on day one, and then you can use that as the ability to look back. Like I started taking dance classes, and I have the videos for my first ever dances, so I can look at the way that I dance now versus the way that I danced at the beginning and be like, I actually have gotten significantly better, because we're pretty hard on ourselves, so it's easy to see it when it's like – it's irrefutable. Like you can't refute that you've gotten better when you see it laid out for you like that.
Right. And I can hear the naysayers. I can even hear myself kind of being pessimistic about this one in particular, because it's not on the surface, it doesn't seem like a valuable thing to do, to like video yourself now and then every now and then. It almost seems like it could be a waste of time. But it's incredibly important to protect your own confidence, because when we are confident, that's how we maintain motivation. And if we're not motivated to do something, we're not going to do it for the most part, right? So we're protecting our confidence so that we can stay on this path that we want to be on. Like we started it for a reason, and this is how we stay on it.
And I think you're saying it's a waste of time, but I feel like underneath that is just
you. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it could be seen as a waste of time.
Right. I'm talking about the exact same thing. You could be seeing it as a waste of time. Like you're saying in your head, like, oh, that's a waste of time. Why would I film myself? But I think underneath that is I'm a little embarrassed of my skills right now, and I don't want to have to monitor it or track it. Or maybe there's a little bit of like, I'm really not good. Do I really want to film myself? If you were confident about it, you would. It's a lot easier to be like, oh yeah, totally. Like I want to share a photo of this or share a little. It's a lot easier when you're super confident about it.
Right. So, yeah, I could see that.
Just do it anyways. And you don't have to share it with anybody.
Number four, get a mentor. There's a huge difference in wanting to pursue a goal and creating a plan for yourself and then going on that plan and having a mentor help you create that plan. Someone who's already been there before. Because when we're in charge of something new, right, we're not confident about it in the first place, we can very easily doubt the process that we put in place in the beginning, right? If we have a mentor that's been there before, then we can have so much more trust in the entire process, which again is protecting our confidence.
Yeah, I think the mentor helps you avoid making huge mistakes. When you're starting something that you've never done before, I like how you framed it. You want to protect your confidence. And I think an easy way to damage your confidence is to like really take huge stumbles at the beginning. There are few people that can take huge stumbles and still continue heading towards something. Most people, I would say, you take huge stumbles and you just give up, or you think that you can't, or you don't have the ability, or it's just too hard. But if you have a mentor who can either be like, hey, I made the exact same mistakes, and just give you confidence that you could get to where they are, or help guide you and avoid making those mistakes so that you can make progress a little bit faster. But I would encourage you to tell them, hey, I don't want you to do things for me. I want you to just, you know, let me know how I'm doing and guide me, tell me how you did it, or just give you some encouragement that they also, it was difficult for them too.
Right. Yeah. Let's say you want to get leaner and you do a little bit of, you know, a little bit of Googling, you read a couple blogs, and you decide that one thing you have to do is eat, you have to eat no fat. And so you do that for a couple months and you realize that just doesn't work for you. You feel like shit. It's not having the effect that you wanted. And you realize that it was a huge mistake and you kind of just wasted 2 months. So what that does is it creates doubt in your ability to create the structure of this program or this process for yourself. If you have a mentor that you know has been there and or who ideally has helped others get there before, then you can trust in the process and you're going to be way more consistent and likely to stick to it.
Yeah. So they'll help you just like find holes in your own strategy and give you the best practices for implementing it.
So far we've got 1, build skills, 2, try before asking for help, 3, identify measures of progress, 4, get a mentor, and 5, create a feedback loop. So as often as possible, really in every area of your life, we want the opportunity to get feedback on how we're doing. Because without feedback, we just have one perspective of ourselves. And we all have blind spots, whether it be in our personal life, in sport, in our relationships. We have things that we really can't fully perceive. We really aren't 100% certain about how we're doing. And so we want to create opportunities to get both positive and constructive feedback from people. We want to be clear about what we're doing well and where we can improve. And that's going to make it so that we rapidly improve our skills.
Totally. I think it can also help you see some things that you wouldn't necessarily notice. You know, you're like, I'm not getting better at it. And then you ask for feedback and that person's like, oh, you're so much better than you were before. It's kind of like that measuring progress thing mm-hmm. as well. These are all a little bit tied in together. Definitely ask for feedback and it will help you see some things that you are not necessarily doing well and help you gain some confidence that you're actually on the path to where you want to be.
And the best way to do this is to create a system around it. So this could be as simple as like every Friday, I send a check-in to our whole team and I tell them everything I did for the week and they have an opportunity to comment and give me feedback on how I did for that week. Rather than just waiting until we feel like asking for it, if you can make it so that you're regularly getting consistent feedback, it's going to be much more likely that people are going to give it to you. And you're going to rapidly improve your skills.
My number one tip for getting feedback is to not get defensive. I think that a lot of people will ask for feedback. And then when they get the feedback, they discount the feedback. They just don't agree with it or they don't believe it or it makes them feel insecure and they don't want to believe it. And so they start justifying it to that other person and defending it. So, oh yeah, I know you see it that way, but you see that because of XYZ. I would really encourage you when you're getting feedback from somebody to just practice accepting it and trying it on. Like maybe it fits, but you don't realize that it fits. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But you don't have to defend yourself to that other person. It is really just going to make it so that they're never going to want to give you feedback again. I'm sure those of you listening, I know Michael can definitely relate to somebody asks you for advice or for feedback, you give it to them and then they just completely disregard it and basically make you feel like it was stupid. And you're like, well, I'm not going to ever help that person. Like, I don't want to risk my own feelings when you're the one who asked me for some feedback. So I encourage you to just actually accept it and be like, thank you, thank them, even if you don't agree with it, and sit with it for a little bit. Sometimes the feedback that you're the most defensive about is because it's actually true. And I would encourage you to, that resistance that immediately pops up when someone says something that you don't necessarily agree with, take a second and sit with it for a bit and really, it might actually be real and true.
That can be one of the biggest teachers in your life. When you feel that resistance and that defensiveness, really, really take a hard look at why you're feeling that way. Great point, Adi. Okay, guys, those are 5 tips for building confidence. Remember, just because you feel afraid of something is not a reason not to move forward or take action. In my life, I've started to develop this belief that the more afraid of something I am, that usually means that it's just something that I value an extreme amount. And so I'm so much more afraid of failing because it matters so much to me. So I've started to look at it as a beacon. If I'm not feeling afraid in any area of my life, then I'm failing. That's the only way I fail is if I'm not challenging myself and doing things that I'm afraid of.
I love it. I think that's a perfect way to end the show. So get out there and build some freaking skills, guys. Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.